In our training, we are really upfront that Catholic parishes live within canon law, and canon law is there and has not been abrogated in the Diocese of Downconnor, where the parish priest has the final say. But it's not a... Neither is it, nor should it be, a dictatorship of the parish priest, nor a democratic free-for-all, let's take a vote and the majority wins. We're about something else in the church, which is back to the Ignatian thing. We are about the discernment of God's will. Now, if a priest and his people sit down and determinedly and patiently seek God's will, then you're hoping that ideally we're not all the time going to be coming up against issues where they came up with something and I'm the priest and I don't like it. No, it's we who have been working on this all along. Ideally, two things are not in conflict, and they don't have to be. Somebody once said that, you know, at a meeting, I think it was in Maynooth, somebody said, but sure, there's no democracy, so there is no democracy in the Catholic Church, so how can we have this co-responsibility? And somebody said, well, it's true. Yeah, certainly from the point of view of canon law, there's not democracy, but we have something better. We have the possibility of people, priests and people, sitting down together to discern God's will, where at the end of the day, it's what God wants, not what the parish priest wants. And the parish priest wants to be wanting that as well as everybody else. And with an understanding that through priests and people prayerfully considering these things together, something far better than his ideas are going to come up. And a lot of the time this works really, really well.
Yeah, you're heartened by what you've seen. Is it a model that could possibly be rolled out in other dioceses?
No, I mean, this is not something we're making up in Downconnor. This is the church at its best since the time of the apostles. What I think we are doing, to be fair, we have learned an awful lot from the other dioceses, because in an awful lot of places this insight has been worked out for ages. The problems are always human, you know, like human being. People will start off, we all start off full of the joys. Everybody's up for it. They're so enthusiastic. God's in his heaven and it's all going to be great. And then, in every human group, whether it's from among the people or the priest or somebody else, people hit a wall, you know, and we all do. We all know this. And what so often happens is that when we hit the wall, we give up and either just go into neutral and people say, sure, we just go along with whatever was there, whatever the priest wants. Or, you know, like the priest in many cases will throw up his hands because he says, this is bedlam. You know, the real work is staying with it. People staying with each other. And I would be hoping that here in Downconnor and everywhere else, we will learn the skills of supporting groups. And this is groups of priests and people together and being patient with one another. And when they hit the wall, stopping. You know, like that's the time when you want the time to pull back and stop and pray. We've hit the wall here. Let's stop and pray and realize we're about something bigger than ourselves. And we'll come back to it 10 minutes, or we'll come back to it next month. And those stratagems, they do work. And they do get people over the wall when they hit the wall. It's all very human. This is how it works. Where there's the patience with one another. It's patience of the priest with his people. Patience of the people with the priest and with one another. It's the only way. That's the only way that you can be sure that we do our part to make sure that the Spirit of God is in the community. And it'll never be perfect. In any, there's no such thing as a perfect parish community. There's no such thing as a perfect family. But within all of our limitations, we can find ways of holding one another together in a space that is based on faith and prayer. And when we do that, the living church is there and it has to be good.
And out of that living church, I mean, your work has also spread again. You are doing cross-community work with, you're here in North Belfast, but you are working with parishes that are in Loyalist Heartland.
We had a lovely thing recently where a group of Jesuits came to Belfast, myself, two lads from Britain and a Belgian, and we worked with local prayer guides, the Downconnor prayer guides, delivering a week of guided prayer, both in Sacred Heart Parish, here where I live in Belfast, and the Church of the Good Shepherd, which is in genuinely a Loyalist heartland out in one of the northern suburbs. And it was a great credit to the folks from Monkstown. They came into the Sacred Heart on a Sunday night for the first gathering, which was a new thing for some of them. And then we had our daily meeting with guides in the two respective parish centres, in Good Shepherd for the Protestants and Sacred Heart for the Catholics. We gathered again on the Friday night in the Protestant church this time to gather the fruits of it, and it was a wonderful thing. Both the guides who had been involved and the participants really felt that it had been a time of the Spirit, and certainly the minister in Monkstown, Reverend Arlene Moore, Father Martin McGill from Sacred Heart, and I are going to work and bring this forward with the prayer guides who can play a fantastic role in this living church development, and are and will play a fantastic role in it.
When you say prayer guide, are these people who are trained in spiritual direction?
They are trained in prayer guidance, which I suppose is sort of step one of supporting other people in prayer. And it started in the Jesuit house in Belfast, and a number of people, Father Finbar Lynch, Brian Groven, and others who were here 20 years ago, began to train people to be able to sit with someone who is praying on scripture regularly, listen to them, give them a space to articulate their experience, and then help with suggestions of another scripture that they might go on, arising out of the experience they have had. So I think it's rightly called prayer guidance rather than spiritual direction, which might be a deeper reality. But yes, that was started 20 years ago, and over the years they have had new training, and we all gathered on Friday night again in the Church of the Good Shepherd. Now, people were so moved by this experience of praying with scripture. They were, I think, particularly moved by the fact that we had done it, Catholic and Protestant, together. It was a great credit to the people from Church of the Good Shepherd. They came into Sacred Heart Parish. For some of them, that was a simple matter. For others, it was the first time. And
they'd be inside a Catholic church.
It was. There was certainly one man said that it was his first time, and he was quite nervous about it. By the end of the week, when we gathered again, the same man was saying that it had been a fantastic experience and that he was so grateful for it. Something great will come out of it.
It is amazing, considering when the troubles were at their height here. I was a journalist in the BBC. You were covering sectarian killings regularly, and it was Protestants were killing Catholics. Now, not all Protestants, of course, but what we're seeing is that there was such a fear and tension between the communities. And to have this people actually praying and working together is a very hopeful thing to be part of.
It certainly is. And on the Protestant side, in this particular instance, there is just huge willingness and enthusiasm that we take this forward. And just the beautiful thing about this is that it's praying in scripture. That is the arena in which Protestants are just so at home, and indeed have a lot to teach us and share with us, which makes just guided prayer kind of an obvious way to go and to grow together. And I have a lot of hope for this.